a scooter, I'm honking my hooter.
I'm on a scooter, I'm honking my hooter. I am not alone, the road is my son, I'm on my way home. The freedom I'm cruising, I know I'm not losing. Just me and my friends, the eye depends, we got a bitch.
I had a squash banana. I threw it at the teacher.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Where's that girl from? Is she like a family member or?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic question. There was a lady called Mel who used to hang out at the studio where we used to practice and where Brubeck recorded. And her daughter was hanging around in the studio one day, and we were recording Scooter, and I just thought, wouldn't it be great? So you actually, you know, the girl you hear and then the mother's response.
Yep.
Well, that's Mel. Unfortunately, she passed away, bless her soul. And that's her daughter. That's her daughter who just did something funny into the mic, and we just loved it because it was just raw and impromptu, and so let's throw it into the song, you know?
Yeah, that was sick. For all them there, that song was called Scooter by Brubeck, and joining me right now, as you can hear, is our singer guitarist Paul Tainsley. Paul, welcome to the Baker's Punk Podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Nice to finally see you in person, over the digital beam. Sean, yeah, nice to meet you, mate.
Yeah, you too. Now, before we get into this, we need a location and weather report.
Oh, okay, I'm in the top of the western hills of Lower Hutt, Maungaraki. It's blowing probably about 90k winds. It's got a wind chill factor of, I'm not too sure, but I think it's 14 degrees, apparently.
Oh, nice. So that's in New Zealand, if you're not familiar with that location. And we also have to have a little talk, because this podcast today is going to be a little bit different to the ones I've done, because Brubeck don't actually have any songs on Spotify. So you've given me the rights to actually insert full songs of Brubeck throughout this interview, so it's actually pretty much going to be a full podcast apart from little things that you're going to get into a little bit later on, correct?
Yeah, correct, no worries. Happy for you to play the songs. Yeah,
now Paul, I'm gonna start where I first heard Brubeck, because we're gonna sort of jump forward a fraction there and we're gonna come back. But I found you guys on this. Now, I'm holding up a CD, and you've got the same one. It's called Punked If I Know, and it came out in 1997. And our great guy, I've talked about this guy, Sean Heaps, at the music shop in Greymouth, and he was getting in anything punk. So when he got this, we were cracking up laughing, because Paul, there's actually two bands from Greymouth on. Did you know that?
Right, of course.
He's looking, going, is there?
I didn't realize they were from Greymouth. So Amen,
yeah,
No Justice,
and Brain Grenade.
Oh my god, I had no idea. Look, I know Greymouth and Westport, there was a bit of a burgeoning sort of punk scene,
yeah. I'd never heard of that them until I got this.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, that's just crazy.
I had no idea. And then they announced a CD show. So I got this, and then it was like, oh, we're doing a show. So we went down the pub, and I'd never heard of them apart from these songs, and it was just real raw. Like, the songs are just like full old school, like, I don't know, just like heavy. Well, you know, it's like old punk. It's not catchy 90s the skate punk or anything like that. It was just like full on. I'm just like going, okay, and they're all like skinheads, and I'm like, yeah, it's probably not our best place to be, but no, it was still cool though. But yeah, so after we got this, literally there was only two bands that I actually liked, And that was you guys, okay. Brubeck and Kitsch, of course.
Right, okay.
And that's when I hunt and more, and I come across the split, which is, we're both playing snap here. I was holding up the monkey puzzle side. So there's a split there. It's called with Monkey Puzzle and Brubeck. Now you guys are both from Wellington, eh? Monkey Puzzle as well.
Oh, no, Kitsch. Monkey Puzzle. Monkey Puzzle, yes. Yeah, they were from Wellington, largely based up on the Kapiti Coast.
Yep.
And just probably, 45 minutes north of Wellington. And all of us were from Wellington and Brubeck. So, both Wellington groups. It's interesting because, that split was sort of a bit of a shock, really, because when we submitted a song, like we got together and thought, look, let's just get together and record a few songs and submit it, because we heard about One Foot Records wanting to do a compilation in New Zealand, because I was working in the music industry and managing a record store.
Yeah.
So we just recorded a few tracks and we sent them up, and I'm going to hold up a CD here you won't have seen, but it's called
I haven't Groups seen that.
Demos, and this is probably worth, I don't know, all of $5 on the black market. But it's actually got a few songs on there, and one of those. So we had a. What happened was we submitted some songs, and then a guy called Rick Heyman, who owned One Foot Records, moved to New Zealand, and he just wanted to promote New Zealand punk, because he even put out an At the Drive-In album on his label, and he had some really good bands like The Tie That Binds, which is sort of an early emo band, and he was doing releasing a whole lot of albums. His dad owned the Naxos classical record label, a massive worldwide classical record label, and he has his son putting out punk records.
Yeah, sick.
So we recorded this song, and we sent them up, and he said, look, I've got this other band from Wellington, do you want to do a split recording? So we did, and that's how the split CD came about. But I've actually got three songs. We've got two songs on Punk Defined.
You got two. Yeah,
we've got an additional. We've got a hidden song. There's a hidden song.
At the end of
the album. So after track 21, you'll notice there's a secret track, track 22, and it's me playing all the music with Rick Heyman from One Foot Records, and I recorded and wrote on the spot there, Arthur Maniac.
So what caught my eye, and it was just a song of yours that I was like, oh my god, New Zealand can do punk this good, and it was Letterbomb. I was hooked from that song. I was like, oh my god, that's just catchy as hell. And then I hunted, and of course the split come. And me being me, I read the inside, as I always did, because we had CDs, and it said, all songs performed and fucked up by Brubeck. You carry me on, and it says, for info, T-shirts, stickers, wife runs, and toothpaste. Right, too. And I wrote to you.
That's right.
And
I remember this.
And you sent me. I think you sent me some stickers. I can't remember the stickers, but the toothpaste. I've actually talked about the toothpaste already on this podcast. I think your Brubeck's being talked about the most out of any other band apart from Propagandy. But you sent me this toothpaste, and I expected it to be a legit Brubeck toothpaste, and it ended up being... You photocopied and glued it to, was it a Colgate or something like that? Was that
or a McLean's or something like that?
It was fucking funny. I got it and I just cracked up laughing. I was like, "Fuck, that's funny." And we actually kept in touch a little bit back in the old days with the old snail mail.
Well, yeah. Look, I'll be honest. I just loved that somebody wrote into us.
So was I the only one?
Write letters. Oh, no, we had people write in about other things. But, I mean, clearly it was a joke about the toothpaste, right? We were barely producing music, let alone, we weren't producing toothpaste on a production line. So I just thought it was so brilliant that you actually, sent a message on that. And so I was like, right, we're gonna put some sort of fake label over the top of some toothpaste and get it to you. And I just thought that was the best thing. It just made my day, you know.
Oh, it was perfect. Yeah, so because I think I asked, can I get some toothpaste?
Oh, that's gold.
What we can story is bad, as the war in the middle. Class is started by the flood. If you want to learn lessons, don't look now to build a future, cause it's all about to end. We brown box, sticks inside, and the truth is in order. And it's dream we've had to take. How much more could mankind take? And it's hard to love the day. And it's hard to beat it. What will it take for them to stand and to understand how needs are things we all want, and our needs are greater now. Take this time to push your word in. Speak your mind, give your 5 cents. We brown box, sticks inside, and a true new stand on home. And it's dream we've had to take. How much more could mankind take? And it's hard to love a day. And it's hard to beat it.
Good. Hey, let's just travel back. So we've got that bit out of me finding you guys. Let's start with you, Paul. Let's start with how you got into music for a start. How did you start getting the old axe out and cranking and where did your story start?
Look, I always remember music in my household growing up. My dad, He always jokes about getting kicked out of the choir at school for being, tone deaf.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of, I remember listening to a lot of the Beatles and some early, a lot of 60s stuff. I loved the Kinks. I remember being very, very young and loving the Kinks. You Really Got Me.
Yeah, yep.
And for me, that's almost like the first punk song. If you listen to the, the slightly disordered Ray Davies and his brother, as brothers, you know, guitar tones, they were trying to find ways to get this, the guitar sound really dirty and raw. And if you listen to, you know, you really got me. I loved the Kinks. And so I listen, you know, I remember my dad just encouraging, he would just sit around and sing and have a flag and a beer and sit around and sing. And I'd just sit there and look with him, and it was a way to connect. And I had two older brothers, and then they were listening to, you know, Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, The Clash. I remember a Clash album being around there. And so my brothers were playing some sort of heavier music too. So, you know, I sort of had like the sort of pop sensibility of the Kinks and the Beatles. And then I sort of quite liked the hard edge of, you know, some of that sort of Judas Priest, Iron Maiden sort of stuff. Actually, we got into Iron Maiden later. It was sort of me that brought Iron Maiden into the house. But so I just loved music. And I didn't think I, you know, there's no one in my family who's musical apart from I've got some great grandmother or some great aunt or something who was an opera singer in New Zealand, which I only found out years later. But I had a mate called Daniel Ellsworth, and he had a guitar sitting in his house, and I used to just pick it up and he'd be playing The Police and music like that. And I remember buying the guitar off him for, I think, $15. And I just took it home and I just mess around. And I remember probably about 1 week of having the guitar, I think I was hearing Elvis Blue Moon on there. And I was like, oh, I just was picking the root note of that song. And I was like, I can play this song. And then a couple of days later, I had it in bar chords, and because no one taught me music. And I just sort of worked it out. And I thought, I've just worked out how to play Blue Moon by Elvis. And I'm pretty young here, probably 12, 13.
Yep.
And probably 12, actually. I was probably an intermediate. And that was where it really sort of started. I was like, oh, I can do this. I could pick – how did I – no one's taught me anything. No, there's no one in my household guiding me. I just was able to find the notes and was able to play along to a song. And I was like, okay, well, what do I do from here? So that was sort of where it all sort of started. And then – well, you know, I ended up, and then I sort of did get into bands when I got into high school.
Yeah.
So when I was 13, 14, I had some mates who were at high school. Some guys, Kane, Tige, Tim, and I started singing in this group with them, and we made it into the Smoke Free Rock Quest.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
High school competition.
Yeah.
And we were just sort of playing alternative music, and I was singing, and we dressed up as monks and went on stage. It was just, we were just taking the piss. We weren't very good at all. We were just taking the piss, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And what sort of music were you playing? Was it like punk, or was it just?
No, it wasn't really punk. It was sort of like that alternative. It's hard to say, but it was a mixture of all kinds of things. One of the guys was really into Chili Peppers. One of the guys was really into sort of like, we were listening to stuff like Head Like a Hole. Head Like a Hole before they had an album out on Radioactive, which was an underground Wellington, you know, radio station.
Yeah.
So we were listening to all these independent Wellington acts on a local radio station. So we were like, well, we can do something like that.
Yeah.
And we started doing that, and then I was still playing around with guitar a bit, but it wasn't serious. I didn't think I was a good guitar player.
Yeah.
And then some guys I knew, I was listening to like thrash metal at the time, a lot of Anthrax. Sacred Reich, Forbidden. I was listening to that sort of music, and a lot of that music, I listen back to it now, it's actually got quite a punk hard, the bands that I did like in the thrash.
Had
quite a punk hardcore element to them. They were probably more hardcore of the thrash and speed metal scene. And so I there were some guys at school, and they were just like playing Anthrax covers and Metallica covers and Slayer songs and so on. And so they just got me on the vocals, and we were sort of called Earwax, I think.
Was that the name of the band?
Just Earwax, I don't think we had a name. We just sort of would make it up on the day, but I think Earwax stuck for, pardon the pun, but Earwax stuck for a little bit. And it was a guy called Mike Murphy, another guy called Mike Nicholson, and another guy called Jeremy Broughton. And, you know, I remember us getting up in front of the school and playing an Anthrax song called Got the Time, which is pretty much, if you listen to it now, it's pretty much like a punk song.
Yeah.
It was a cover of an old jazz tune.